You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The UFC Buzz Podcast with Gareth A. Davis. Exclusive to William Hill. Listen online at audioboom.com or subscribe at iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts.
Yes, hello, welcome along to William Hill's UFC Buzz Podcast with Gareth A. Davis. We've got UFC Fight Night 112 to look forward to in Oklahoma. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined by Gareth on the line now. How are you, Gareth?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm in New York this week, Mark, and it's Fight City Central now at the moment. I mean, I've been here this week. Gennady Golovkin and Saul Canelo Alvarez are here. Last week I was in Las Vegas for Andre Ward against Sergey Kovalev. But of course, Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather was announced as a big event on August the 26th. That's massive. And, you know, there's just so much going on. I mean, there's a huge Bellator event here in New York this weekend. They're using the scales from Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier in 1971, the same scales that were used for the fight of the century. There's this real crisscrossing. I've written a column in the Telegraph today about how the codes of MMA and boxing are crisscrossing at the moment, and yet they're as similar as badminton and tennis, you know? it's a very, very interesting time for fight sports right now.
It is, yeah. We'll just have a little chat about that to start with. Obviously, the Mayweather-McGregor announcement has kind of put it right there in the spotlight. We've seen all kinds of UFC fighters trying to call out boxers and so on and so forth. If it is a success, the McGregor-Mayweather, the Mayweather-McGregor fight, and it's not just the circus that people expect, do you think we'll then see more of a crossing of the sports?
I don't think we will. I think this is an exceptional circumstance brought about by the fact that we've got the two biggest names, you know, the biggest growing name in combat sports in Conor McGregor. And we've got the biggest name that we've had in the last 10 years in boxing. And I think that there's just a confluence of things that brought them together. There's so much money at stake for this fight, you know, and that's why it's being done. It's so lucrative. It's enough to bring Mayweather back for another giant payday. You know, we're understanding a minimum $100 million. And I mean, we make light of that now because of the fight with Floyd, with Manny Pacquiao that grossed so much money, $700 million. You know, I mean, it's an extraordinary amount of money. And Conor McGregor's going to earn the kind of money that is going to make him, you know, his family, give his family a legacy for the next three or four generations to come. So, you know, I think it's a one-off. For now, I mean, I spoke to Randy Couture here this week in New York, and he fought James Toney back in Boston. I was there that night in an MMA fight. James Toney, of course, a multiple world champion in boxing, came over, and once he was put on his back in that fight with Randy Couture, it was all over. We'll see it from time to time, but I don't think it's going to be something that we see with regularity, Mark.
Okay, we'll see how it develops going along. Let's talk about the this weekend, though, in the UFC. Well, actually, before we do, we'll have a quick look back at UFC Fight Night 111 in Singapore last week. It saw the return to form of Holly Holm, if you like. She bounced back from three straight defeats to beat Bech Correa with a third-round stoppage, a devastating head kick that won the fight for her. You were 3-1 on the night as well, which is a very good return. What did you make of UFC 111 all in all?
Well, I hoped Holly Holm would do exactly that and show some form against, you know, Bech Correa, who kind of does just march herself forward, you know, and I think it was a great opponent for Holly to showcase her skills. I'm glad that she's back on the wagon, you know, two defeats after that amazing victory over Ronda Rousey, you know, in Melbourne, which really kind of propelled her, you know, forward in the UFC and as a fighter. And, you know, but you know, unfortunately, you know, it's three losses, sorry, rather than two after Ronda Rousey, Miesha Tate, Shevchenko, and Durandamy, of course. No, it's, as I say, good to see her get back on the horse. She's a great character, Holly, a great person to have in the sport. And, yeah, I thought she was very, very impressive. I thought Marcin Tybura would look good against Andrei Arlovsky, and it's good for him to get that that victory under his belt over a big name. You know, he's now on a a three fight winning streak in the UFC after a little bit of a bad start against Timothy Johnson. Pleased for Colby Covington. Always a good victory if you can beat the stun gun, Dong Hyun Kim, in his own part of the world. And, you know, and a move up to a very concerted move up to welterweight for Rafael Dos Anjos against Tarek Safiuddin, you know, taking a pretty good unanimous decision victory, you know, all three rounds on two of the three judges' cards. And, yeah, I mean, I think it's a good move for Rafael. Thought he looked very good.
With regards to this week then, UFC 112 in Oklahoma, early hours on Monday morning. We won't get stuck into the main event just yet. We'll save that for the end of the podcast. But there's a bit of bad blood there. It could be quite a firecracker of a night, couldn't it?
Yeah, this is a great card at the moment. You know, I mean, there's some really interesting fights on this card. And I think, you know, it's one of those cards. I like to call this a sleeper card. You know, it's one of those events in which, you know, we're not expecting too much from it, but when it plays out, it'll probably be an amazing event. I mean, it's, you know, there's a ton of good names on this card. There's, you know, a load of people who have got a lot to prove. And I think when you've got that, you're always going to get, it's always this way with UFC events that you can have the biggest names, Mark, and you're looking forward to a coruscating evening, and you know it doesn't deliver. But in these kind of events, you know, we're in Oklahoma City. You know, you've got Kevin Lee slamming Michael Chiesa for not wanting to fight. You've got all kinds of things going on at scuffles during. You know, it's you know, it, look, they are two men that don't like each other. It's as simple as that. And I think that's what's exciting about this. You know, there's you know, when you've got a fighter telling security to get in front of him before he faces off with another fighter, you know, you've got a fight on your hands. So. Yeah, it's going to be a great night, I think. You know, I really do think it's going to be a great event. And, you know, even on the undercard, you know, the prelims, you know, and you've got names like Clay Guida and Eric Koch and Carla Esparza, Marina Moroz is on it as well. You know, there's plenty of Johnny Case, who's a favourite of mine. There's loads of decent fighters. This is a sleeper fight. It's a sleeper card. It's as simple as that. This is like... It's even all the way through. You could literally throw all the names up in the air, the fights up in the air, and let them land, and you could let them run in any order, if I can put it that way.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. It's interesting, beyond the spectacular, if you like. There's little themes underneath that aren't quite as obvious, but well worth watching. We'll just talk a little bit about Felix Herrig against Justine Kish before we get stuck into the three fights we're going to focus on mainly, because that's quite an interesting bout for the women there. And 4-5, Herrig, Kish is even money. Tight in the betting. Are you expecting it to be as tight as the market suggests?
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, obviously, you know, the thing is about Kish, right? She is, you know, up against, I'd say, I'm almost a veteran now of Felice Herrig. You know, she's a long-time mixed martial arts veteran. But, you know, there's a lot to say about Kish in terms of she's got massive, massive athleticism, really, really powerful aggression, great wrestling. She scrambles, she transitions brilliantly. But you know, on the mat, Felice Herrig is a great grappler and wrestler, and really wants to turn this into a brawl. You know, Kish is 6-0. Great wins against Nina Ansaroff, Randa Markos, Ashley Yoda, back at UFC Fight Night 102. You know, but she kind of knows her way through fights. She knows how to win. Brilliant cardio. This is a really, really great fight for me. You know, and I think this is a very similar fight for Felice Herrig as her fight against Paige VanZant. You know, I think both of them really want to be in the top 10 of the women's strawweight division. It's a really solid bout, this. And, you know, at the moment, Felice Herrig is being looked at as, can you get through her to get up to the top 10 in the division? She's got to change that against Kish. But, you know, I think Kish is probably just, you know, I think if she can win two or three fights, she's going to get a title shot. It's as simple as that, you know. And I think Kish is going to take this. I think it's going to be a real grinder of a fight. I think they're really going to go for it. And I see Kish winning maybe on a split point decision or 29-28 with the three judges.
All right, siding with Kish then. Even money, Kish to win by decision as well is 13-8 for anybody who's interested in that. Could be a stepping stone towards a title shot then, perhaps. Let's move on to some of the other fights. BJ Penn against Dennis Seaver next. BJ Penn 7-4. Dennis Seaver is 4-9. Penn is a big name in the UFC from the past. A fighter who's been around for a long time. Done a lot for the sport as well, of course, but he hasn't won a fight since 2010. And he faces Seaver, who has himself been out of the ring for out of the octagon for a couple of years. Market suggests it's going to be quite one-sided here, though. Penn is 7-4 and Seaver 4-9. Do you think the betting should be quite that lopsided?
I hate to say it, but I do. You know, BJ Penn, one of the great, great, legendary fighters of MMA. And as you say, of course, you know, six losses, a win and a draw in his last 7 years as a fighter. I mean, it's staggering to say that. But two of those losses to Frankie Edgar, of course, the one win against Matt Hughes. And then, you know, another loss to Frankie Edgar in 2014, nothing for 3 years. And then BJ gets beaten by Yair Rodriguez, you know, this up-and-comer, by a nasty TKO, front kick and punches in January. Look, he doesn't want to go away. Dennis Seaver had title aspirations at one time, but obviously he got beaten himself by Conor McGregor and then Tatsuya Kawajiri 2 years ago, and now he's back. And, you know, I think, you know, it's going to be, it's two veterans on the way out here, really. I mean, Seaver is 38 years old now. BJ himself, you know, is 38. So it's one of those fights. Both men are very popular in different parts of the world. BJ Penn, you know, the man that can stand on one leg with the other leg behind his head, tucked behind his head. He's an incredible character, a two-weight world champion in the UFC. Would fight at heavyweight. In fact, he has fought at heavyweight before. Well, he certainly fought with Lyoto Machida, whatever weight they were that day. For me, I don't like seeing BJ fight anymore, but I'll always support the fact he wants to keep going. Once a warrior, always a warrior, as long as the prodigy doesn't get hurt. You know, I think this is a tough fight for him against Seaver. Seaver's got heavy hands, spinning kicks. I think BJ loses this fight. I think he gets stopped again. I mean, I think, you know, betting against BJ is not a bad bet at all at this stage in his career. And, you know, I think, I don't know when it's going to end for him. This could be it. But, I see Seaver winning this, Mark. I don't see anything else in this fight.
Yeah, Mark, it's obviously in entire Italian agreement there as well. Seaver to win by KO, by the way, 9-4. Bit of extra or TKO disqualification. A bit of extra value if you fancy him, because he's 4-9 just in the outright market for the fight. Let's move on to Johnny Hendricks against Tim Bush. Bush has got a fairly checkered record at the moment, and Hendricks comes into this on the back of a quite convincing win last time, and the market echoing that. Hendricks is 2-5, Bush is 19-10. Is this Hendricks to lose, do you think, or will it be tighter than that?
Yeah, I mean, I thought Hendricks looked brilliant in his middleweight debut against Hector Lombard in his middleweight debut. You know, I don't think middleweight is the right division for Johnny Hendricks. But the Boach barbarian as he is, is a very dangerous guy if you let him get any leverage. I think in terms of levels, Hendricks is a better fighter, is a better stylist. Dangerous left hand, of course. And Boach, you know, if you let him get a foothold in a fight and let him get those dangerous uppercuts away, or those hooks when he traps you with his dirty boxing and his clinching, you know, he's dangerous. But I think Hendricks will be smart. I'm kind of swaying to Boach to create an upset here, but having said that, I look back on his record and, he's very up and down, hit and miss, in a lot of his fights. I think, you know, in some ways it depends how Hendricks starts this fight. Because the thing is, he's in this new weight division. He's very comfortable physically, of course. And he needs to make a statement. He needs to make a statement because, you know, Hendricks was the welterweight champion. He had some huge nights against George St. Pierre and Robbie Lawler, and now needs to redefine himself as a fighter. He's kind of lost he's lost the attention of fans, and he was a very popular fighter. I mean, he's got to win this fight. It's as simple as that. I mean, I think Boach, you know, he's got so many losses on his record, but he can upset opponents. I'm going to go Johnny Hendricks, Mark, just on ability and clinical punching and, you know, and his all-round ability. But if he does not put Boach away or use the distance between them and dominate the distance between them, it would not surprise me if Boach caused an upset in this fight. But I'm going to go with Johnny Hendricks.
All right, just about leading with Johnny Hendricks then. If you had to pick a method of result, how would you go with a Hendricks win?
Hendricks on points after a tough three-round fight.
Yeah.
And a couple of scares. Yeah.
All right, 11-8 for Hendricks to win by decision. The fight just to go to the distance, by the way, 4-7. If anybody didn't want to put a winner on it with the possibility of a Bush surprise, but that would obviously need them to go the distance.
You know what? Having been a little bit vanilla, a bit flaccid in my choices, and you know what? I'm going for Johnny Hendricks left hand knockout second round. How about that?
All right, then we'll change that then.
I'm just seeing that long left landing on Boach as he comes aggressively forwards.
Yeah,
and him and Hendricks getting a TKO after a big left hand landing. Actually,
all right, better value as well that way. 7-2 for Hendricks by KO, TKO or DQ. Final fight that we look at, the main event is Kevin Lee against Michael Chiesa. Kevin Lee 4-5, Michael Chiesa even money. It all kicked off in the press conference. These two nearly coming to blows, personal insults exchanged as well, and a real feeling of genuine dislike between the pair. Really close on paper. Should be a cracker. Who wins it?
Look, it's number 6 versus number 11. Chiesa's worked his way up to number 6 in the lightweight division. We know what's going on in the lightweight division. At the top, Tony Ferguson at 2, Khabib Nurmagomedov at 1, and Conor McGregor, of course, sitting there as the champion at the moment. So, so much to play for. It's a shark-infested waters in that division. Great opportunities for Kevin Lee, and great, as I say, the brawl at the press conference in Dallas, Texas last month. You know, the Motown phenom and the Maverick, the Motown phenom clipping or smacking the Maverick right in the mouth before they were separated, described as a cheap shot. But it was a valuable time for Lee. He believes that Chiesa won't want to stand and bang with him. Chiesa, of course, has an amazing guillotine, wants to get to the ground. It's bad blood. There's bad blood here. And Lee, who's a great striker and great opportunity for him to climb the rankings, Mark, he wants Nurmagomedov, in December. It's a fascinating fight, this. If it goes to the ground, Chiesa wins. If it stays on the feet, Lee will probably dominate. You can knock Chiesa to the ground, and once you go there with him, you could get submitted really easily. It's a really tough one to call this. It's a matchup of styles. It's the grappler versus the boxer versus the striker. I'm really struggling to pick a winner in this fight. I mean, what I would say is that Chiesa's on a great run since his loss to Joe Lauzon in 2014. You know, wins over, you know, Mitch Clark, Jim Miller, and Benil Dariush. But Lee, you know, he's looked amazing in his last four fights. You know, he's got real, real power, and he's got a submission game as well. Let's not forget. You know, I'm going to go Lee because I think he's on the march. But this is a fight that really could go either way, and it wouldn't surprise me either if Michael Chiesa gets a rear naked choke victory in this fight. But I'm going to go Lee because I think he's got more intent in this fight. What I love about Michael Chiesa, whose father passed away, of course, when he was on the series of The Ultimate Fighter. Michael and I, when we've talked, his father went to public school in England. Big fan of the Doors and the Rolling Stones and British bands, The Who. But he's a top man, Michael. But I think he may not win this fight on Saturday night.
Yeah, real tight one to call then. Leaning towards Kevin Lee at we'll go with him at 4-5 for the sake of the accumulator. Then I've just been knocking that together as you've been talking there, Gareth. So we've got Justin Kish by decision at 13-8, Dennis Siver by KO TKR DQ at 9-4, Johnny Hendricks by decision as well at 7-2, and Kevin Lee at 4-5, and that pays 68-1. So a nice return if you go 4-0.
That's not bad, is it? I think that's the highest we've ever gone to. I mean, you never know. I mean, there's a couple of very tough fights to call in there. Maybe even three of them are tough to call, Mark, you know?
Yeah. Should be a cracking night, though. It's been a pleasure speaking to you once again, Gareth. Good luck with all of that, and enjoy it on Sunday night.
Lovely. Enjoy the fights, everyone. Great working with you, Mark.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.